Hey everybody, it's Rick. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Look, today I want to talk about the times we live in, probably. You know, last week I talked about the moral argument for God and how without God there's no right or wrong, right? That he sets the standard. And so today I want to talk a little bit about the times that we live in and kind of some of the stuff we're going through. And I think the best way to start that is to look at 2 Timothy 3:1-5, right? And in 2 Timothy, it talks about terrible times, and Paul is explaining this to us. And I mean, this is like AD 65 or 66, so it's over 1950 years ago or something, right? 1900 years ago. But, you know, I think it's like what we're living in today. You know, if you read the words of 2 Timothy 3:1-5, it's like, you know, hopping on the internet news or, you know, looking at Facebook. I mean, it shows the sin and rebellion towards God, right? Just go to almost any news outlet, right? You know, and we've always been stubborn and we've always been disobedient towards God. I think about Judges. You know, I did like an 11 or 12 week study on Judges a couple years ago, And it was really about how, you know, God would raise up a judge and help, you know, the people, and then they would rebel, and then he'd have to raise up a judge and bring them out of captivity, and then they would rebel again. And it was just this cycle that continued to occur. But when you look at where we are today, I mean, these times are hard. You know, these times are difficult, and we are going to face a lot of things. And, you know, sometimes I think it's hard to understand how we're going to do that. And so I'm going to read 2 Timothy 3:1-5, and then we'll try to unpack it a little bit. You know, we'll just see where it takes us. And so we'll start with chapter 3, verse 1, But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, having nothing to do with such people. And that's a lot. That's a lot to unpack, right? So, I mean, we can just look at verse 1, right? But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. And what Paul's talking about here is persecution. There is going to be persecution in the last days, and that it is going to be very hard to be a Christian. And if you look at today, this whole cancel culture, right? Everywhere you look, people are being canceled because they're Christian. You see actors afraid to come out and say that they're Christian because of this persecution. It's hard. It's hard to think about. You know, and not only is it hard to be a Christian, I mean, not only is it difficult to be a Christian because of this cancel culture, it's difficult because there's a lot of temptations out there. I mean, a lot. We can sit and talk about it, but there are a lot. And if you look at James 1:14, it says, "But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed." Right? We live in a world of just sin and desire. It's difficult because of this cancel culture. It's difficult because of the temptations of the world, but it's also difficult because that we're going to be tested. That's how this works, right? Hebrews 12:8, if you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all, right? And I think I talked about it a little bit when I was talking about the moral argument of God, that we need to get back to the time of discipline, that as parents, we need to have discipline with our children, and that because we're not allowed to do that, they kind of run wild. And because they're running wild, we're being persecuted. And then it's difficult because there's always going to be troubles. You know? People choose to be mistreated because of the pleasures of sin. That's really something that people should think about, right? And so that's a lot just for verse one, and we went through five verses. And you know, there's so many parts of Scripture that you can look at least that I look at, and I think of how impactful it is in today's world. You know, and I've heard a lot of people say, and, you know, maybe whether they're atheists or agnostic or they're just, they don't know what they don't know, say, well, you know, the Bible was, you know, written thousands of years ago by man, right? But if you really spend time and look at it, these are living letters, right? These epistles are living. You can tie it back to your life today, right? We're persecuted because we were told we're going to be, right? Paul said to Timothy, it's very difficult to be a Christian. It's going to be very difficult. And that is playing out right now. So that's verse one, and then we'll look at verse two, right? Verse two, he talks about people, right? He says the people will be lovers of themselves and on and on and on and on and on, right? You know, for people will love only themselves and their monies, right? And the problem with that is that when you love yourself, when you love money, you're not loving Christ first. That's the problem. That if you're not putting Christ first, then it can't be successful. It can't work. I mean, I'm sure there's tons of other ways to say it, but it can't. There's no way for it to work, right? In 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs, right? So we're saying here that this is a personal thing that people choose to be lovers of money, to be lovers of themselves, and that it is wrong to love money first. You have to put Christ first in your life. But then he also says that, you know, to be proud, right? That's the second. So he's lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. So let's talk about that word proud, right? To be proud and boastful. In the Bible, it says that God is near the humble, right? When you're humble, that's when God will be close to you, right? And if you look at like the Beatitudes, it said, one of the Beatitudes says, blessed is the meek because they will inherit the earth. And what he's saying here is blessed is the humbled. Blessed is the humble. And in James, he says, James 4:6, but he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. So when he talks about being proud and boastful, that's a negative thing. It's a negative feeling and way of acting. And so, you know, this goes back to those terrible times, right? If you look at Facebook, you'll see comment after comment. Most people will in Facebook, but you'll see comment after comment of people being proud about, you know, all of these amazing things that they've done and never thanking God for it. You'll see them boasting about how wonderful they are, but they never thank God. But then I see people, I usually don't probably talk about a lot of different people that aren't actually on the podcast. But I have a friend, his name he goes by Jay Burns. If you go look him up on Instagram, it's Jay Burns. He just started this company called Speak Music Group, and he does Christian music, and he's got some amazing things going on. But every time you see him post, he says, thank God. It's all God. God's doing it, not me. It's all about God. And he's putting God at the beginning and at the middle and at the end. Everything is about God. And because he's putting Christ first, he's prospering. He's not being proud and boastful. He's saying, look at how good God is. So we got to figure out how to stop doing that, right? And then it talks about, you know, disobedient and abusive and ungrateful, disobedient to the parents. That's a problem. That's such a problem for people to be disobedient to their parents. You know, I think if you've listened to this, you know that Ephesians is one of my favorite books that I've within the Bible. I love everything about it, right? But in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, it talks about, you know, children, obey your parents. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on earth, right? So if you're disobedient, if you are disrespectful to your parents, if you are disrespectful to authorities and you rebel, that's where the problem comes, right? So we have these personal problems, we have this pride problem, we have this disobedience to the parents problem. It's all about people, right? So we started with the persecution, then we talked about the people in verse 2, and then in verse 3 we're going to talk about the problems that we have, right? We're stubborn, or we're sinners, or you know, we're sarcastic. Anybody who knows me knows that I don't do well with sarcasm, because at the end of the day, sarcasm is just somebody telling the truth behind a joke. It's them telling you something that they wanted to tell you, but they do it in a joking, kind of laughing, halfway mode and hope to not hurt your feelings. Right? I can't deal with it. Linda knows that I can't deal with it. And there's a ton of people who do. Right? So let's look at verse 3. We talk about the problems, right? In verse 3, it says, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, you know, not lovers of good. So he's saying that people are stubborn sinners. They're constant liars and troublemakers. And look, the Bible says all liars will be turned into hell. That's probably a hard thing for somebody to hear, right? But at the end of the day, right, sinning, lying is a sin, right? Being a troublemaker, you can't do it, right? People are stubborn, right? They'll be hard-headed and they'll never give in to others. And what people maybe don't recognize is that being stubborn, especially for Christians, being stubborn is the same as, you know, idolatry, right? In 1 Samuel 15:23, it says, for rebellion is like the sin of divination and arrogance, like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. You know, so you're going to be stubborn? Well, he's going to reject you. The other thing we got to remember is that we're supposed to be in this group together, right? That we're not supposed to, you know, fellowship with troublemakers. And I don't mean, like, everybody's a sinner. But, you know, who you walk with, there's a difference between, you know, fellowshipping with people and, like, being, you know, friendly or acquaintances, right? We're supposed to go out and do outreach and ministry and evangelize to everybody. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter what they've done. Everybody can be forgiven. But who you walk with every day is important, right? Who you spend time with every day when you're in the Word is important. The reason there's many, many reasons, but I think the reason I love Bikers for Christ so much and Rushing Wind Ministry so much is that I know that from a doctrine point of view, we're all on the same page. Now, we may go to different churches. We may be members of different denominations, but we all serve the same God. And so that's, you know, that's why I'll have other people on, like, you know, Forged Brotherhood, or, you know, someday I'll probably have some CMA people on, or maybe Tribe of Judah, or anybody. It doesn't matter, right? But we're all on the same walk. But when you're walking with somebody who is trying to teach you something different, you got to keep away. You know, Romans 16:17 says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you've learned. Keep away from them, right? Paul's telling us, stay away from the people that are actively trying to pull you down. Reject them. If their goal is to pull you away from Christ, stay away. That's what he's teaching us there, right, in Romans. There's a problem, and in today's society, as much as people want to talk about being tolerant, and I think I did a podcast about it, but as much as people are talking about being tolerant to others, the people asking for tolerance, right, the different communities are the least tolerant. Because what they're saying is, you can't be a Christian. You have to believe what I believe. But what I'm saying is, you were given choice. You were given free will, and that is a gift from God. You choose to believe what you want, and I'm going to believe the truth. I'm going to follow Christ. And I know people are going to be up in arms because I said I'm going to choose to follow the truth, but that's how it is, right? There's just no way around it. But you have the freedom to choose your way, and I am not going to condemn you for that. That is, I'm not here to judge somebody's salvation. I can't do that. But I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to pray for you. But I can't, like, you're not in my circle. Listen to what Paul's saying there, right? You can't be with people who are actively trying to turn you away from God. You have to reject that. All right, so that's verse 3. We got two more to go, right? So we've talked about the persecution in verse 1. We've talked about the people in verse 2. We've talked about the problems in verse 3. Well, in verse 4, we're going to talk about the pleasure, right? In verse 4, I'll read it again, right? Treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's the pleasure, right? And there is sinful pleasures, right? There's this sinful personality, right? People will betray their friends. Have you ever been with a friend? And this is what I think, I struggle with this a lot, but you know, you'll be hanging out with somebody and they're talking so much trash about somebody that you both know. And what I hear when that happens, or what I think when that happens, is what do they say about me when they're with that other person? Right? That is a sinful personality. And people, they're going to betray friends. That means that they're two-faced, right? In Matthew 24:10, it says, at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. If you're hanging out with those people who are constantly talking about other people and what other people did wrong and judging other people's lives, they're doing that behind your back as well. And that is a sinful personality. And what it's going to do is it's going to cause this division. It's going to cause this hate. It's going to cause this pain that will pull you away from God, whether you want to believe it or not. We're human beings. We have emotions and feelings, and those emotions and feelings that could cause us to hate somebody or to have that negative interaction can pull our personality away from Christ. Then we got to talk about pride. You know, there's such thing as pride and sinful pride, right? Lovers of pleasure, conceited, treacherous. You know, pride is like, you know, you puff yourself up, you know. When you don't have any time for God, but you got plenty of time for yourself and sin. Have you ever thought about that? I know there's times in my life, and even in you know, my new life, my new Christian life, that I've said, I just don't have time for that today. I don't have time to be in the Word. That's just a cop out. That's just me, you know, saying that I don't have time for what's important. That's just me saying, you know, God's got it today. I don't need to spend time with him. But that's not right. You can't say you don't have time for God, because God is more important than anything else. So if you don't have time for God, you got to reprioritize some stuff. And I find myself having to do that all the time. All the time I have to reprioritize to know, like, what is really important here? And let me tell you what it is. It's Christ. And I'm not trying to diminish the fact there are times in our lives, right, where you have something going on that you have to do. You have to do it at that time, but reprioritize what you do after that. See, I think that's where we get into trouble. Because something is not pleasurable, that I get more pleasure out of something else. And that's where it becomes, you know, sinful. It's sinful pleasure when you prefer that to worshiping God. You're not loving God. If you give into your sinful desires, your sexual impurities, your whatever it may be, right? Over God, that's a sinful pleasure that you have to figure out how to deal with. And it's a struggle for everybody, I think. It's not something that just happens. All right, we talked about verse 1, the persecution. Verse 2, the people. Verse 3, the problems. Verse 4, the pleasure. And now we're going to talk about verse 5, the peril, right? And in the peril, there's this religious and this retreat. You know, the religious is people will go to church, but they won't really believe what they hear because it's about a religion and not a relationship. And there's a huge difference between religion and relationships. Right. I don't believe in religion. I believe in a relationship. I have a relationship with God and Christ. And I talk with them every day, just like I would talk with my father. Right? I may be driving down the road, I may be riding my bike, you know. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. I may be listening to the radio to some worship music. But I'm still talking to God, telling him about my day, telling him about what I got coming up. And look, I may never hear a reply, but that's okay. That doesn't stop me from having that conversation. And then, you know, so I said there's this difference between relationship and religion, and then there's this retreat, right? You have to keep away from people. Like we talked about in verses 1 through 5. Paul tells us, have nothing to do with such people. And the reason he tells us that, look at Amos 3:3. It says, do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? And what he's saying is, if you're walking with somebody who's living out the sin described in this four or five verses, and you're walking with them every day, you're living that sin out too. That's how I interpret it. And maybe I'm wrong, but that's my interpretation. Because if you were walking with them, you know what they're doing, right? In 2 Corinthians 6:17, it says, therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing and I will receive you. I mean, right here we're being told, you got to stay away from this. And that's because the objective of the adversary is to pull you away from Christ, to pull you away from the Father. And he can do that if you're living and walking in sin, with sin. But if you're living and walking with people that are walking the same path, what's going to happen is you're going to be able to spend more time out of sin. That's how it works, right? So how do we, what's the answer, right? We know that we're living in some terrible times right now, but what's the answer to that? And for me, the answer is love God, right? You have to have a love for God, a daily love for God, right? You also have to live for God, and that means keeping all of his commands, right? So whatever we're commanded to do, you have to live for God, and you have to keep them. And that doesn't mean you're not going to sin. But if you do sin, you have to repent, and you have to ask God for forgiveness. And you have to try to be better tomorrow than you are today, even if it's 1%. And then you have to look for God. I think that's probably, I don't know, maybe the hardest one. You know, you have to look for God, because if you have hope in God, he will purify you, right? John 1 John 3:3, all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. So if you look for God every day, if your hope is in God daily, you will be purified daily. I think that's probably the best way to overcome it, is that hope in God, to look for God. Look, whether you want to admit it or not, we are living in the end times. And there are three important things that you have to recognize. Jesus is coming. Death is coming. Judgment is coming. The question is, are you ready? God has warned us over and over again. He calls us to prepare to meet him. What are you going to do? What will you do? Right? With those three important things, with the knowledge of those three things, Jesus is coming, death is coming, judgment is coming. What will you do? Are you ready? That's what I want you to think about today. And however, for every day, think about it every day. Are you ready? Hey, everybody, it's Rick with the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Thanks for listening. If you got questions, send me an email at hello@nomadpastor.org. If you want, I would love for you to subscribe. It's available on whatever platform of choice you are. Share it with your friends. And just, I want you to have a blessed week. Thanks.